Amen. Well, good morning and welcome to our 10 a.m. service here live. And we want to welcome everybody online today watching with us and those who will watch it on the rebroadcast. I'm excited to preach today's message. It's a challenging message. It will make you uncomfortable. It has made me uncomfortable preparing it because it's truth and reality and what's needed in the body of Christ today for leaders, for just anyone who believes who Jesus is. And so I'm going to preach a message called Be the Difference. Be the Difference. Do you believe that you can be the difference this morning? Do you believe it? You got to start there. You got to believe that you can be the difference in what God has for you. And honestly speaking, it's getting very exhausting living in today's culture, isn't it? It's exhausting, isn't it? You can all yell amen if you feel that way. It's exhausting. It's heavy. There's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of negativity. There's a lot of things being spewed back and forth to one another. It's people are upset. People are on edge. People are just downright mean to one another. They don't see each other's brothers and sisters. And the scary part to me is that it's crept into the body of Christ. That when we look at the body of Christ and we look at the world, we're starting to see there's no difference. I'm already hitting some chords here this morning. I don't want it to be that hard, but I got to speak some truth today. That when we look at the world and we look at the body of Christ, there's been not a lot of difference lately. If we read believers' posts and we're around believers who are talking, and then we go with our unbelieving friends, there's not much difference anymore. And the reality is God called us to be light in a dark place. He's called us to bring life to dead areas. He's called us to be people of compassion and goodness and kindness and live with long suffering and gentleness and faithfulness. And when we look at the world today and we look at the body of Christ, there isn't much difference anymore, and it scares me. Is anyone with me in the house today? Amen. And so what I want to encourage you today, I want to challenge you today, is to be the difference, to be the difference makers, to be the world shakers, to step up and stand firm in the face of adversity, in the face of ugliness, in the face of what we're facing in our culture today and in the world today, and say, you know what, we have the answer, and his name is Jesus, and we got to put him at the forefront of everything, because he is the answer, and he is the truth of what we need. And see, what happened is, church, we've allowed the enemy to come in and bring division even in the body. It's been his plan since Genesis, the book of Genesis, right? He crept into the garden, didn't he? And what did he do? He came in between Adam and Eve, and he brought division there. And then once that sin was partaken of, all of a sudden, now there was division and a brokenness between the Father and his creation. See, it goes. The division goes all the way back to Genesis, and the body has allowed it to creep in over politics, over viruses, over just a multitude of things, and it's brought a fracture to the body, and it's not healthy anymore. And church, Jesus is the answer, and he's called us to be the body of Christ, to be the forerunners, to help those who are in need. You could be the difference. You can be the difference. You can be the difference. So I'm going to challenge you today. I've been challenged all week with this word. I want to challenge you today with this word. I'm going to read a passage of the scripture to you from the book of John, the Gospel of John. John chapter 1. This is titled The First Disciples. John chapter 1, verse 35. I'll give you a moment to turn to your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible with you today, or your smartphone or whatever you're using, the words will be on the screen. It says, the following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples, and Jesus walked by John and looked at him and with his two disciples. As Jesus walked by John, looked at him and declared, look, there, right there in front of you, is the Lamb of God. The mouthpiece, the man who would proclaim the Messiah, was with two of his disciples and said, look what I see. Let me show you, right there standing before you, is the Messiah. It says, when John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following and says, what do you want? They replied, "Rabbi, teacher, where are you staying? Come and see." It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to a place where he was staying, and they remained with him for the rest of the day. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John had said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went and found his brother and said, "We have found the Messiah." Then Andrew brought Simon to Jesus. Father, through your word today, through the move of your Holy Spirit, let us be the difference. Teach us to be the difference. Strengthen us to be the difference. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Here's one instance where Jesus is walking, and he's declared by John the Baptist, the mouthpiece, the pointer of people to the Messiah. He's with his disciples, and he points out the truth of who Jesus is. And those two disciples left that day. And one of them was Andrew, the son, the brother of Peter. Now, we know who Peter is in the Bible, right? Peter is the loud, boisterous, in-your-face, denying, repenting, mover and shaker of the kingdom of God. And here's his brother Andrew, who first sees the Messiah and meets him and runs back to Peter and says, "Come, meet who the Messiah, who the Christ is." And when we look at Andrew, I think we can learn a lot from Andrew about being a difference maker. See, Andrew didn't do anything more outstanding or glorious than what you and I could be doing or what we should be doing. His first simple act was to bring someone to Jesus. If we want to be the difference makers, if we want to see change in the world, church, we got to rise up and start bringing people to Jesus. Don't just bring them to the pastor or to the church service or to the small group or to the Sunday school room. Bring them to Jesus. We all have the responsibility of bringing people to Jesus. We're all called to be evangelists in our sphere of influence. We all have the strength and the ability to be an Andrew, to be a difference maker. Now, Andrew, you know, he was the least known of what I call the powerful, the powerful four. Because you got Peter, James, and John. James and John, the sons of thunder. Well, that in itself should explain those two. And then you got Peter, the one that jumps out of the boat, who the one who denies, the one who weeps, the one who stands after Pentecost and says, "Listen, the man you crucified, he preached a message where 3,000 people were saved that day." And then you have Andrew. Quiet. I don't want to say shy, but not the same personality. And that's okay, because this is who he was. He wasn't trying to be Peter. He wasn't trying to be John. He wasn't trying to be John the Baptist or Jesus himself. He was trying to be Andrew, and he was comfortable in Andrew's skin doing what God called Andrew to do, and that was to make a difference. See, Andrew, you know, had an enormous appreciation for a person's soul. He cared about the soul of a person. Because when you read about Andrew, the few accounts that we have, it seems he's always bringing people to Jesus. He died on a cross that was shaped like the letter X, where he suffered for 2 days because he led a leader's wife to Jesus, is teaching her about that he's the Messiah. And she accepted the teaching about Jesus being the Son of God, the Messiah. And so the leader wanted his wife to recant her acceptance. She would not recant it. So he was so mad that he put him on a cross and he suffered for 2 days and eventually was martyred for the gospel of Jesus. Why? Because he was so concerned about the souls. And it said in the study of Andrew that while hanging on the cross, when everyone walking by, he was still leading people to Jesus, talking about the Son of God. He was even, with his dying last breath, was being a difference maker. And church, we're called to be difference makers. Don't get uncomfortable with me today. Please don't, because we are really at a pinnacle point in our culture right now. We're at a pinnacle point in the church right now. Church, we got to rise up and be the institution that God has called us to be. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. We need to know the Word of God. We need to know the truth of the gospel. And we need to come out of our comfort zones. I'm pretty out of my comfort zone, but I need to come more out of my comfort zone. And I gotta be a difference maker. Because you know what? It's not getting any better. It's not going to get better on its own out there. We know that. It's not going to. I'm just telling you the truth right now. What's going to make the difference is Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the body of Christ rising up and being who we're supposed to be. Amen? So here, Andrew, he's a very simple and honest follower of Jesus whose greatest talent was bringing people to Jesus. That was his greatest talent. Now, some of us were like, hey, man, what's your talents? We're like, yeah, you know what? I'm a pretty good public speaker. I can still play some soccer. I can break dance, you know, certain songs. I'm pretty good at the robot still. And we go through the list of talents, and very seldom is one of our talents say, I can bring people to the foot of the cross. we don't look at that as a talent. It's a talent. It's a gift that God gave us to be an evangelist. We're all called to be evangelists. If we weren't called to be evangelists, Jesus would have never gave us the Great Commission. Go ye therefore. Who's go? Who? Us. Where? Out there. To do what? To proclaim the gospel. To be difference makers for the kingdom of God. Not to gain glory and fame for ourselves, but to bring people to the saving knowledge of who Jesus is. And so this is what he was gifted and talented in doing. He had great zeal and eagerness to lead people to Christ, to talk about, to demonstrate, to physically bring them to the Messiah. He didn't receive as much recognition as the other ones did, but he wasn't about recognition. He wasn't about self-accolades. He wasn't about being known as the man. I mean, think about him being the brother of Peter. Wow. There could have been some problems, right? He first meets the Messiah. He brings Peter. Peter becomes who Peter is. And he's like, whoa, I was the one that brought Peter to you, Jesus. Why don't I have this? Why am I, you know, the least known of the power for? Why? And he's like, no, I believe that he was happy for his brother. He was supporting his brother because his brother had a different call and went about his business of being a difference maker different than Andrew did. There's nothing wrong with that. He was comfortable in his skin. Church body, let me say this. We need to be comfortable in our skin and how we can evangelize. Don't try to be someone else when you share Jesus. Be you. Don't go up to someone and you know, pretend you're some preacher from wherever, you know, the way they speak. And no, be you. Tell your story of what Jesus did in your life. See, Andrew lived, or possibly lived in that shadow, but you know what? He was a supporter. He was a supporter. Andrew, like I said earlier, was crucified on that cross. And so when I talk about being the difference maker, in here it preaches good, doesn't it? It's good. We can hoot and holler. We can amen. We can wave hankies. We can get all sweaty. We can, you know, do what we need to do here in church. But when we go out there to do it, it becomes difficult, doesn't it? Isn't it difficult? Isn't it difficult? Yes, no, maybe so. It is. It's difficult. But we make it difficult because of our thoughts, because of what we perceive people will think, what people will do. You know, we think that, you know, when we go out there and we begin to talk about Jesus and bring people to the Lord, a few things go through us first. The first thing that happens, and this was a survey that was taken a few years back, and I believe it's so true today, is that when we go to share Jesus, when we go to be a difference maker, one thing that seems to rise up is that a fear comes over us that our two separate worlds will collide. What do you mean by that? Pastor Dan knows what I mean about that. It means that my Monday through Saturday world is going to collide with my Sunday morning world. Because you know me Monday through Saturday. You know how I talk. You know how I dress. You know what comes out of my mouth. You know my actions towards people. You know everything about me. But Sunday morning may be a little different than Friday evening. And so we have a tough time talking about Jesus. We have a tough time leading people to Jesus. We have a tough time being a difference maker because we don't want those worlds to collide. Because we're comfortable in one world one day and another world the other day. church in 2021, those two worlds must collide. And when the heavenly world touches the earthly world, it must overtake the earthly realm of who we are. And so that holds us back. We are afraid that we don't know all the answers. I'm going to stand here before you. I don't know all the answers in regards to Scripture. I don't. But I'll study, and I'll read, and I'll ask questions, and I'll make phone calls, and I'll do all that I need to do to get the answers that are needed. So I won't allow me not knowing something that I perceive might come up hold me back from telling someone Jesus loves you and he wants you to be a son or daughter in his family. And I won't let it hold me back. It holds us back. It used to hold me back. It doesn't hold me back. Some of the body here said, Pastor, I have a question. And you might have got this response from me. I may or may not have the answer right now. It's true. I may or may not have it. If I don't have it, I'll find it. I will call every bishop that I know, every pastor that I know. If I can't find it, I will research Scripture. I will get to the concordances. I will get to the other thing, tools that I use, and I will try to find that answer for you. I don't have all the answers. But the one answer that I do know is that Jesus loves you. The question is, does Jesus love me? Yes, he does. How much? He loves you enough that he died on the cross. And outside of these walls, there's a dying world, and it's nasty and it's ugly out there. Did you see the video yesterday of the guy in the airport in Miami? Did you see the video where he went ballistic, was going to hit another person with a stanchion, and everyone just standing around? He went crazy. It's crazy out there. The world needs Jesus more than ever. They've tried all the other answers. They tried to get all the solution to what's happening, and it's only getting worse. The true answer is Jesus and the biblical principles of which the gospel speaks of. And so we don't talk about Jesus because we're afraid to risk our friendships with people. If our friends leave us because of Jesus, they're not our friends, and people love Jesus himself all the time. We risk that. We're so fearful of that. Well, they may not want to be friends anymore. We'll think that it's foreign to them. We feel that it may not be relevant. These are just some of them. But the reality is we're called to be difference makers in this room and watching right now online and in the 8:15 service, sat and is sitting right now a multitude of difference makers. One, you have to believe that you're a difference maker. You got to believe that through the presence of the Spirit of God in you, you're a difference maker. Or you can be a difference maker if you haven't started yet. And today, when we leave here in a few moments, in an hour or two, when we're done preaching, we need some old school 4-hour services. We do. Some of you are real reluctant. You're like, I see on the faces like, but I have the crock pot going. And it might be done by 2. Then text your neighbor, yo, here's the code to my garage. Go and plug my crock pot. Because I'm having church up in here. Right? So we have to bring people to Jesus like Andrew did. Do you know when we bring people to Jesus, things change? In the Bible, it says in Matthew chapter 9 that a paralyzed man was brought to Jesus. And within moments, he was like, stand. Stand to your feet. Pick up your mat and go home. And the man stood and he went. Why? Because someone brought him to Jesus. His life was changed. In Matthew 15, on a hill of Galilee, multitudes of people brought the lame, the sick, the blind, the mutes. And what did Jesus do? He healed them. He restored them. In Matthew 19, parents brought their children to Jesus. Let me talk to all the parents in the house. Bring your children to Jesus. Grandmas, grandpas, bring your grandchildren to Jesus. Sow the seeds now into their lives. He brought them to Jesus, and Jesus laid their hands on them and prayed over them. See, in Luke chapter 18, he was approaching Jericho, and a blind man was yelling. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people were trying to silence his message. Check that out. Son of David, have mercy on me. Shh, don't say that. Don't call that name on. Doesn't that sound familiar? Don't say the name of Jesus out loud. Don't say the name of Jesus in a public setting. Don't wear a Christian t-shirt. Don't pray before a meal in a restaurant. You're offending me. Well, be offended because I'm going to serve Jesus. Be offended because I'm going to serve Jesus. Be offended because you know what? I'm offended about some of the things you do, but you know what? I pray for you. Why do I always have to be the person that accepts being offended by the world, yet I can't talk about my Jesus and not be called a bigot or whatever because I love Jesus and talk about him? Why? Because the church got sucked into the division that the enemy is allowed to come, that the enemy came in with, and has done a work on the body. Body, we got to rise up. We got to make a difference and be the difference. And so Jesus hears it, and when Jesus hears us, he heard him, he's like, bring him to me. So the men that were telling him to be quiet actually had to bring him to Jesus. And Jesus heals them and restores them. Be the difference. We can be the difference. I love it. John the pointer points out Jesus to Andrew. Andrew goes, meets with Jesus, immediately goes and gets his brother, brings his brother to Jesus. A few months later, in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is walking along and calls a group of people, fishermen, to follow him. They drop their nets and they follow Jesus. Whew. Do you see how it works? Matthew chapter 9, a tax collector. Jesus meets with a tax collector. Matthew 9 verse 10 says, now what happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came in. How in the world did all these people get to Matthew's house when Jesus was going to have a meal with Matthew? Matthew invited his friends to have a meal with Jesus. And then the religious folk, like the religious folk do, they're like, why are you eating with sinners? Why do you eat with who you're eating with? And he's like, because I've come for those who are sick, those who need me. Out there and in the body of, out there, out in the world and in the body of Christ, we need to sit with Jesus. We need to sit with Jesus. So Matthew invites people. We have the power to be the difference. How are we going to do it, church? How are we going to make a difference? How are we going to invest? How are we going to be the difference? Well, first we're going to do this. We're going to purposely invest in other people. We're going to purposely invest in other people, all types of people, and not just our church family. In other words, like Andrew and Matthew, we're going to think of the closest people to us that first need Jesus. The closest people to us. It may be your husband or your wife. It might be your children. It might be your parents. It might be your grandparents. It might be an aunt or uncle. It might be a brother or a sister. It might be a distant cousin. Let's first start with the closest. Where did Andrew go? He went right to Peter. Where did Matthew go? Right to his tax collecting friends. He started close. He didn't branch out yet. Let's start with the circle of influence that we have, the relational equity that we have around us. We're going to properly and purposely invest in them. We already have the connections. We already have the trust. We have already have the interaction with them. That's a tremendous start than walking up to someone on the corner right away. And so you all got people in your family that need Jesus? Yes, you do. You got that relative that you consider four or five times about inviting, but you didn't invite, but you got to invite. Because if you don't invite them, then they're going to find out from the brother or sister that you did invite, because you know when he shows up or she shows up or the babies show up from that family, oh, my Lord, our party's ruined. You know that one? They need Jesus. We can't forget them. We can't forget them because they rub us wrong. We can't forget them because they haven't talked to us in 6 months. We can't forgive them because, you know, they don't think like we do. They're not registered politically like we're registered. Really? I'm a kingdom person. I'm registered as a Kingdom of God person. Y'all need to hear that. What's your affiliation? The kingdom. Kingdom of God. The world is wreaking havoc in culture, in our homes, and in the body. The enemy is working full time. In church, we got to rise up. We need to make the difference and be the difference. We need to identify those people. We need to go after those people. And once we have identified them, we begin to pray over them and into them. And then we begin to bridge. We then become bridge. We become the bridge makers of the connection, not between them and us, but between them and the Father. We take them to the cross. So we're investing in them. And then we're investing, but we're aggressively sharing Jesus. We're aggressively sharing Jesus and about knowing Jesus and the importance of it. And I don't know if you know this, but the devil is aggressive with his agenda. Did you know that? The devil is aggressive with his agenda. He had the audacity. He had the gall to go into the garden and meet with man, with God's creation and cause them to be disobedient and to break the divine, perfect harmony relationship that they had with the Father in the garden. He had the aggression and the guts and the gall to go in there and be like, did he really say not to eat of this? You know, he doesn't want you because once you do it, yeah, everything's going to be different. The devil's aggressive. Evil people are aggressive. Church. Andrew was aggressive. He went right to his brother and says, you need to come now. He wasn't like, hey, Pete, you know, I know you might be going fishing in a couple minutes. I know, you know, it's been a long night for you. You just got done, you know, making some new sandals because you got a big journey coming up. I was hoping and wondering maybe if you got like 5 minutes and it maybe seven. I don't want to take too much of your time. Maybe you want to think about it, not pray about it because I don't know where he was at that point. But think about it. I really would like to introduce someone to you that might be of interest to you. He's like, no, hey, Peter, you need to come right now. I met him. I met the Messiah and he's right down here. Come with me now. And he literally got him to come with him. Are we doing that? Are we aggressive? Are we aggressive in taking people to Jesus? Are we aggressive? I love how he did it. I love it. And then we help him grow. So we're investing, we're aggressive, and in the midst of being our aggressive and sharing about knowing Jesus, we then stand alongside them and we're helping them grow in a relationship with them. We're bringing them to a small group. We're having a small group with them. We're praying on a daily basis. We're giving them scriptures to read. We're showing them how to navigate the Bible app. We're if they don't have a Bible, we're going to go and we're going to buy them a Bible so they have a physical Bible to open and close. And then I think really the third thing is so important for us here is that we need to, in the midst of being the difference, not only invest and be aggressive in sharing, we have to include others. Not just one group or demographic. The body of Christ is all people. It's all people that don't look alike. They don't look alike. They come from different backgrounds. Different neighborhoods. It was funny yesterday. I was with my daughter and my son and my wife, and my daughter's boyfriend was over, and I found out that he's 100% Polish. And I was like, I'm starting to like you a little more, friend. I'm Polish. And then I find out that his grandparents grew up in the Black Rock Riverside area where Bishop Tom grew up with his Polish family. And I'm like, man, that's a group of people that need Jesus. all the Polish people over on that part of the city needs Jesus. But then I think of my mother. She's Italian. Gold chain, horn. She's Italian. So now I think of all the Italian people over down in the Hurdle area, right? They need Jesus. Do you see where I'm going with this? I think of all the people that are living in assisted living. They need Jesus. I think of all the young kids. They need Jesus. I think of all the people that don't look alike and have different skin tones. We all need Jesus. Y'all with me? Do you see where I'm going with this? We just can't pick and choose one group of people. We all need Jesus. We all need Jesus. And so we got to include others in our quest of being the difference. So let me give you, when we close here, you with me so far? All right. I'm giving you homework today. School starts Monday. I'm giving you homework. School starts tomorrow. I'm giving all the teachers like, preach that, brother. They're all getting their stuff. Preach that. I'm giving you homework this week. Let me give you five principles that are going to help you in being the difference. And we're going to look real quick at the, I'm going to tell you the story in Luke chapter 5 of the four friends who brought their friend who wasn't able to walk to Jesus. It's in Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. See, there was four friends who had a friend who had a need. And they came to the realization that they were going to make a difference in his life. They knew they couldn't heal him or help him with where he was at in the realm of bringing health and wholeness to them. But he was able, they realized and understood that they were able to get him to Jesus because Jesus was the answer for what he needed. And so what happens is they put him on a stretcher or a mat or some type of, don't know exactly what it looked like, a carrying device where the four of them carried them from point A to point B. And from point A to point B, they carried him, and at point B was where Jesus was. Jesus was at a house, and he was preaching. And I said earlier, that you ever hear that entertainer Elvis Presley? Right, y'all heard of Elvis, right? I've been on this Elvis movie kick. I do not know why, but I have been. It's like I just watched Fun in Acapulco over the weekend. Amazing. I'm considering cliff diving as my next adventure. No, I'm kidding. But wherever Elvis went as a rock star, people followed. He had to be, you know, fake cars going one way while he was in another one where you couldn't see who was in it over here. He'd show up and thousands of people would be there because Elvis is here, Elvis is here, Elvis is here. Jesus was no different. Wherever Jesus went, people were there. And except for it seems to be in his hometown. That was a little different there. But wherever he went, there was multitudes of people. He'd show up on a mountainside, there'd be a multitude of people. He'd show up in a town, there'd be a multitude of people. He'd be walking, there'd be a multitude of people following him. He's in this house, and there's a multitude of people that are there. And this multitude of people are sitting and listening to his teachings. These four friends, the difference makers that they believe themselves to be, knew that all they had to do was get him to Jesus because their faith in who Jesus was would make a difference in his life. And so the story says that they brought him to the house. The house was so full that they couldn't get in. So they had to actually lower him through the roof to be in the presence of Jesus. And while in the presence of Jesus, this man is healed. And so let me give you the principles from this story that will help you and I to become difference makers in the culture that we live in. To make an impact in our families, with our friends, in our communities, in our schools, in our city, in our nation. You ready for them? Here they are. Number one, the principle of compassion. Difference makers will function with compassion. Compassion being the sympathetic or being sympathetic and having concern for those who are suffering or the misfortunes of others. These four individuals saw their friend that had an issue. They were moved with compassion and love for that man to bring him to Jesus, because in the presence of Jesus, his life would be different. His misfortune did something inside of them that stirred them to step out of their comfort zones, to not worry what someone would think about what they believe about bringing them to Jesus, what would happen, not happen. They're like, no, we're going to get him to Jesus, because in his presence, he's going to do something supernatural. And the story tells us that when he got there, the man was healed and restored. And so for me to be a difference maker in the culture and in the realm of what we live in, we have to function with the fruit of the Spirit, and we have to function with great compassion for those things around us. Amen? Number two, the principle of cooperation. Cooperation is the process of working together and assisting to achieve the same ending. We read it again. The process of working together and assisting to achieve the same ending. What is the ending that the body of believers wants? The ending that I want as a believer is to see people come to Jesus and their lives change forever. That's my agenda, is how many people will come into the kingdom of God, and how many people can I be used to touch? Not me do it, but me be used by the Holy Spirit in me, coming out of me, that would help build the kingdom of God. What is the message that I can give them of what Jesus did in my life that changed me to who I am today, that I can share with them, that they would begin to think and believe that if that happened with him, then I'll go to this Jesus so it could happen in my life. And see, the spirit of cooperation isn't done solely with me. It's done first and foremost with the connection of the triune God that I serve, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit that dwells within me. So I'm in cooperation with him and his plan and his purposes, but I'm also in cooperation with the other body, with the body of Christ, the other believers. We're working arm in arm for the cause of the kingdom. Do you see how it works? They work together as a team to get him to Jesus. We as a corporate body have to work together as a team to make a difference outside of these walls. We have to have compassion. Number three, the principle of faith. The principle of faith. Jesus said the faith of the friends leads him to being healed. They were standing in the gap. I prayed with someone this morning that was standing in the gap for healing for a family member. They had the faith to believe that as we bound our prayers together in who Jesus is and what Jesus can do, that God would begin to move. Not only are we functioning with the principle of compassion and cooperation of doing what God wants us to do, the way God wants us to do it through the move of the Holy Spirit in us, but we're also walking and breathing and living by faith that the scripture is true, that God will do all that he said. Every promise is yes and amen. And so they believed and they worked together and they had faith in God that things would change. See, I prayed at the worship night. Were you at our worship encounter last week? Would you enjoy that if you were here for the worship encounter? I'm going to tell you what. It was amazing. The house was pretty full. We worshiped, we prayed. It's the beginning of nights of that signs, wonders, and miracles through the spirit of worship as we come before God. There'll be more scheduled. We'll talk more about it. But we just, you know, it's the faith. It's believing that God can do what he says he's going to do. I have the faith. They had the faith. They brought him to Jesus. I have faith that God can change culture. I prayed the prayer, like I was saying, out of Ezekiel. I have the faith to believe that just as the valley of dry bones, just as he spoke and he did what the Lord told him to do by calling out to the breath of God, because there's life in the breath of God, and that he called to the breath of God. He said, blow, O breath of God, wind of God, come into this valley of dry bones. I, by faith, pray that prayer. I pray that prayer all the time. Oh, breath of God, come and blow upon America. Oh, breath of God, from the north, the south, the east, and the west, blow upon Lakeview, blow upon Angola, blow upon Derby, Hamburg, West Seneca, Buffalo, Erie County, New York State, Albany, D.C., America, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Israel, Russia. Do I need to keep going? We got to begin to pray these prayers and have faith that the wind is going to blow like it did in that prophetic showing, that all of a sudden the deadness and the dryness will begin to rattle and begin to shake. And those things that were dead, those things that were stolen by the enemy, those things that are diseased and full of sickness, the disunity, whatever it may be, will begin to be broken. And out of the ashes, out of what we see, will rise up a newness of what God's going to do throughout the world. Amen? But we got to move and function in cooperation with God, with compassion and the fruit of the Spirit and faith that God will do and fulfill that which he's promised. Then we see the fourth principle out of the five, the principle of action. They had a plan, and they put their plan into motion. I was notorious for making a plan and looking at it like, that's mind-blowing, that plan that I just whipped up. That's amazing and awesome. It's mind-blowing. And never doing it. It was just a really great plan that never got out of the journal. And by not getting out of the journal, it never made an impact. It never brought a soul to the kingdom. It never encouraged someone who was down. It never led someone to the foot of the cross. They had a plan. Let's get our friend to Jesus. I have compassion and I'm stirred to move, and I have the faith to believe that Jesus will heal him. But I need some cooperation from you three and maybe someone else along the way. And so I have this plan. Let's get this plan in motion. And they physically walked out that plan. Difference makers. Walk out the plan of action. Number five. Last one. The principle of persistence. Persistence is the firm continuance in the course of or a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. One more time. The word persistence is defined as a firm continuance in a course of action in spite of the difficulty or the opposition that we face. Difference makers will face difficulties, will face opposition, but we must understand the importance of perseverance. We must. Do you not think that when those four men picked up their friend and began the journey in the Middle East, where it could be 110 degrees at 6 in the morning, from one city to another city, in that long flowing robes that they wore in biblical times, and those sandals that they made by hand, and the long hair and the beards, and they begin to walk in the midst of the desert. Do you not think that it was difficult? Listen, these lights right today, because I'm a little wound up tight this morning, it's hot up here. But we're going to persist through it. Then they get to the house. Did you ever have this happen to you? You have one of those days and you get through it, and you get to the destination. Christmas, is it that one vacation movie with Clark Griswold? They get to the park, right? And they get to the park, and they're like, oh my gosh, it's closed. It took me everything to get here, and it's closed. I'm just making it in terms that we all understand. They get to the house and it's packed, it's full, it's overflowing. They don't even see Jesus. They just know that he's somewhere in the middle of the house teaching. They're like, okay. Well, you know what we got to do? We got to climb on the roof. We got to cut a hole in the roof. And now we got to lower him in. How big was he? And how small was he? Who knows? That in itself is a could have been an issue too, right? Listen, carrying one of these kids at about 60 pounds is one thing. Why don't you carry me to the back and grab a cold drink with me on your back today after service? You'll get to the first Sunday school and be like, Pastor, you got to get back on that treadmill longer. A little different ball game, isn't it? So they cut the hole. Now they got to lower him down. Well, is the rope? Who has rope? Who has rope? The tow chain wasn't invented yet. How are we going to get him 12 feet down to Jesus? And are we even strong enough with that rope? And make sure it's level, because if one of you is weaker than the other and your side dips, our boy's dropping. And he's going to do a couple flips in the air before he smashes his face off the ground. Now Jesus has to pray for healing to his face and healing to his legs that he can walk out looking really good. Not all jacked up. You see, I got to put this in perspective. Because this is what it's like to be a difference maker. It's going to take us to overcome our anger, our bitterness, being upset about everything we're reading and hearing and seeing posted. And we need to come to terms with that I am a believer of the Most High God, and that he has a plan and purpose, and that the answer to what we're going through is found in him and him alone. We know that the world's tried it hasn't worked. And so I'm going to begin to move with compassion. I'm going to invest in people. I'm going to be aggressive in sharing my faith. I'm going to invite others. I'm going to be the bridge maker. And I'm going to walk and breathe in compassion. I'm going to be persistent. I'm going to have the faith that I know that God will do something supernatural. This all lines up in being a difference maker. Persistence. Whatever it takes. Now we're about to leave. We're about to leave and go about our day. We have two things now to do with this message this morning. Two things. One, you could totally reject it and walk out and be like, yeah, that wasn't for me. He wasn't talking to me. I got it all together. I flow in compassion. I'm a man, a woman of faith. I can believe. That's not me. I allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me in every single decision that I make. I am, you know, actually, I'm so in tune that I float. I don't even walk half the time. I'm just floating. So we can pretend it was for your neighbor or the person you came with. Now, don't look at that person next to you and be like, that was for you. That was for you. No, not you. The one behind you in the white. Yeah, that one. It's for him, not me. Or it could be, you know what? I'm like, Pastor, I needed to hear this today to kick me in the butt, to get moving forward. Because there's a lot of stuff going on, and I'm not happy, and I feel the pressure of it. And the only answer to what's going on is Jesus. And the body must rise up, and I'm part of the body. I'm a son or daughter of God. I've been saved by the blood of Jesus. I've been saved by his grace and his mercy, and I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. I have all that I need to move forward. And so I'm going to grab a hold of that word today. I'm going to try my best starting today to begin to apply it wherever I go. Because if you're grocery shopping today, you're going to need this word. I'm being honest. You're going to need it. Yesterday, I saw two people like a guy and a girl like fist fighting almost in a car. They were swerving, jumped off the road, came back on the road, pounding their steering wheel. And I'm like, Lord, help them. I don't know what's going on in that car, but Lord, help them. They were in their 20s. I'm like, Lord, help them. Whew. Crazy. It's the culture we live in. And this culture needs Jesus. And we are the carriers of the gospel. We are the light in the dark. We are the Andrews that must go and lead them to Jesus. And you can do it. Whatever you put your mind to and you allow the Spirit of God to work through, you can do this. You can do this. It will be difficult. It at times will be easy. It'll be exciting. It'll be frustrating. Let's stand to our feet. All the Andrews rise to their feet this morning as we get ready to pray. I'm going to pray these principles over you this morning as you step out of here. And then we'll open up the altars. The pastors will come and pray with you afterwards if you need anything else. But I want to pray these principles. Father, in Jesus' name, you gave us the word this morning. That word is to be the difference. Be the difference, and we are taking that challenge to heart today. Father, we saw Andrew rise up and immediately bring his brother Peter to you. We saw Matthew invite tax collectors. We saw four friends that made a difference with the man who couldn't walk. Lord, I pray that today that every word that has been spoken, every example that has been given, every prodding of the Holy Spirit that has prodded us, Lord, I pray that we accept them and receive them for the value that they are. And God, I ask that you would help us to begin to apply the simplistic, basic principles that are so needed to be the difference. The principle of functioning with the compassion that even you, Jesus, had. The ability to work in cooperation with the plans and purposes of you, Father. To have the faith to believe when we see things not happening yet, but believe that you're working on the backside. That it'll be transformed into the physical. Give us the ability, Father, to move with action. Let us not just have great plans and great agendas, but let us function and actually be doers. Lord, as opposition and difficulty arises, allow that spirit of perseverance to rise up as you strengthen us to push through. Lord, I pray for those who truly are struggling with everything that's happening in America. Everything's happening in the world. All the fighting. Families being divided over a multitude of things. Over politics, over COVID, over finances. Over so many things. They're being divided and broken up. The enemy has crept in. We bind that spirit of division in Jesus' name. Psalm 133. How good and pleasant when we dwell in unity. I declare that in our church family today, in their homes, in their places of work. Father, help us to be the Andrew that you called us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap this morning? Before we receive our offering, I just want to ask you to pray. This week, Elder Ray Goodrich, who was part of the founding team of this ministry, that this ministry came out of the Bible study that he led at First Church of Evans that grew to be over 200 years or 200 people. He went home to be with the Lord this week. He's been battling sickness for about 3 to 4 years, and a few days ago he went home to be with the Lord. The suffering is over, and he stands in the presence of his Heavenly Father. And I just want you to pray for Linda, his wife. I believe it was of 31 years. Pray for her and the children and the grandchildren in this difficult time. He was an integral part of this ministry. And so I say that now because at the end of the month of September, they're going to be doing a memorial service. And right now, today, it's scheduled for Saturday the 25th at 2 p.m. Now, that may change. I will keep you abreast of all that's going on with that. I said earlier that my uncle was the greatest smuggler I knew. He smuggled more Bibles into communist China than anyone I know. He did. He put his life on the line more than anyone I know for the gospel. You traveled with him. You smuggled Bibles with him. Many of you did. His number one thing in life was serving God. That was it. It was serving God. Nothing else. And so today's Mission Sunday, and I didn't do this on purpose. We had this on the schedule before knowing that he went home to be with the Lord. And it's our overlook of Sower's ministry. This ministry that we support admissions of sowers is actually the longest missionary that we've been serving. We've been serving this since the old building, since almost the beginning of this church. And it was because of Elder Ray and his connection to Neil. And so this is a viable ministry. They're called to India. They're called to Nepal. They're called to other regions. They teach. They train. They feed. They get Bibles. They do leadership. They work in third world countries where, you know, they don't get a lot of relief from the world and the world organizations. So they're trying to raise their own relief, their own things to help, you know, meet the need of the local pastors and their people, you know, distributing rice and fruits and vegetables, cooking oil. I mean, the basics that you and I, we don't think of. Oh, it's in the cupboard. Oh, it's not. Let me run down to the store and grab it real quick. They don't have. But because of churches like us and because of great people like you, when we give to them, they put the resources into the hands of those who need it and help, you know, impact their lives. So this was just a focus this month of one of the missions that we support, and I thank you for that. They give out Bibles and different things, and we give two ways. We give by prayer. We give by three ways. We give by prayer. We give by going onto the mission field, and we give by giving our money. There's no other way of putting it. Prayers, physically going, and cash. That's how we give. And by those three things, it makes a difference. Thank you for being the difference in our missions department. I thank you for that. And this is just one that we serve. And so I'm going to receive our offering today for our missions and for our normal tithes and offerings. And we'll open the altars up after service for extended time of prayer. If not, God bless you. You have a great week. Next week, look, we'll be posting all our small groups that are coming. Other things that are happening is I don't want summer to end, but the selfish pastor in me does, because I miss seeing you guys more often. And once summer ends, summer's busy. Go vacation. Spend time with your family. I am all about that. But I'm looking forward to September, what God has in store for this upcoming fall with the body of Christ. So let's pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you, God, for this time of giving and the opportunity to give. Lord, thank you that you've given us sowers to be a mission to support through prayers, through attending, through serving them, as well as giving to them financially. Lord, I pray over both offerings today. Very simple. Lord, I pray that it would be multiplied and that it would impact the kingdom in a great way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. And as you're leaving, the offering is on the way out. God bless you. Have a great day.